Now, tonight, go ahead and open up to Matthew 7. Believe it or not, yeah, I know it's not Ephesians. But it's based on Ephesians. It's based on, because everything we've been teaching out of the book of Ephesians, well, not everything, but the primary renewing of the mind facets we have to have is that we have been seated in the same place of authority as far as God's concerned. We've been quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, over and over again in Ephesians 1, we've looked at how He has been seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And over and over again we've taught on that. But then in chapter 2 it says we were quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together in Him in that same place. From God's point of view, no wonder Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." He was intending for His ministry not to come to an end, or for His ministry to be multiplied through all of the body of Christ, the fullness that fills all in all. We're the body everywhere, all over the world. That same, those same works, that same ministry of Jesus is supposed to be accomplished. Well, that's going to take a renewing of the mind, because most Christians that I know have a survival mentality. They're just trying to make heaven now. And even if you get charged up a little bit, Dave will fire you up and I'll fire you up, or what, you know, you'll watch something and you'll charge out and charge hell with a water pistol again. Get your eyebrows singed off. Pretty soon it's like, okay, I'm just going to go to heaven now. I'm not trying to win for revival. But that's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to conquer. We've been called to take dominion. Just now, for that to happen, what pattern do we have? Looking unto who?
Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus. So in Matthew 7, we're going to look at the very end. We're going to look really at verse 29 is the one we're after. But I want you to look, if you have a red letter Bible, all of Matthew 5, all of Matthew 6, all of Matthew 7. This is all one big sermon here, which, you know, it would take months for us to go through and try and exhaust that. But let's just pick it up in verse 24 as he's been saying all these sayings. He has been teaching all the way through here, the Beatitudes. There's so many things. And picking it up here in verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine..." Now, what sayings do you reckon he's talking about? How about the ones he's been doing for the last three chapters? "These sayings of mine, whoever hears them and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." Now that's the guy who's doing Jesus' sayings. Okay. Now, yeah. Okay. But now, it's going to come against the guy who heard it and didn't do it too. Satan is an equal opportunity destroyer. You know, he doesn't know anything but how to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. That's all he knows, okay? But now, the difference, look at verse 25. "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What was the rock? No. Doing? No. We're hearing Jesus. We're hearing the Word. No. Doing His sayings is the rock. Doing His sayings, not knowing them, not having heard them, doing His sayings, okay? "But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," see, they both heard, "and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, Satan is an equal opportunity destroyer. You might as well know the storm is coming. It's just up to us. Hearing the Word is no safeguard. Being doers of the Word, that's the safeguard. Well, one of the things that Jesus talks to us about, we're going to go over to a very familiar passage here in a little bit, is how we talk. See, if we're going to really be agents of authority from Ephesians, if the truth of the matter is we have been assigned by the Lord Himself to go about doing the same works, and we've been anointed by the same Holy Ghost, and the same way that He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And He says, I don't even want you leaving town till you get baptized with that same Holy Ghost. You got to have that same power. Why? I want you doing the same works. If that's the case, then we're going to have to act like Him, talk like Him, have the same results that He had. Well, now, I'm really headed now for the last verse here. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Notice, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Why? For He taught them as one having authority. Here we go again. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We're going to have to become a people that when we speak with authority. No more wishy-washy. No more mamby-pamby. Know what you know, willing to die for it. And if there's areas where you're still learning, like I know we all still have those areas, be humble enough to say, I'm still learning about that. See, that's one of the greatest safeguards I've had since I've been a teacher, since the Lord gave me that assignment. People ask me questions all the time. And if it's one that the Lord has shown me something about, if I know something about that, if He's given me a revelation or something in Scripture, I'm overjoyed. Hallelujah. I'll share that with you, Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, I'll share it with you, But right on the other hand, people ask me questions, and I just tell them, I say, well, like all the time people ask me questions out of the book of Revelations. That's the one book the Lord just hasn't hardly shown me anything. I said, I can read the verses with you. I know what the verses say, like you know what they say, but if you're wanting anything beyond that, He hasn't shown me anything beyond that. I just know are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Well, I have my opinion. See, but at this point, I'll tell you it's my opinion. I'm not going to fight with you over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I can find verses for all three. But I think I know. But see, if we shared about that, it would just be my opinion. But when it comes to things where we're going to go out and do the same works that He did, buddy, it's time to get past the wavering. Is it His will to heal or is it not? Get it straight in your mind. How He got it straight in mind was when He said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. I went on assignment through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, trying to find even one case. Because they always said, well, it wasn't God's will. It just wasn't God's will to heal. We prayed. See, in a backdoor way, that statement is an indictment against God. Said, well, we wanted them healed, and they wanted to be healed, and we prayed, and we know we prayed in faith, so they didn't get healed, so it must not have been God's will, you liar. You didn't pray in faith. And the reason I can say that with such authority, that'll make people mad, and I don't care if they get mad on that one, because I've already been through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can't find a case, you can't find even one where He said it's not the Father's will to heal you. Then they'll bring up, well, maybe it's not God's timing. Well, you look for me. You go through there yourself. See if you can find it. Yes, it is His will to, Jesus standing there. Yes, it's His will to heal you. Not today. Come back Thursday. We'll see if maybe Thursday He wants to heal you. There's no such thing like that in there. See? We have got to become a people who speak with authority. We spend a lot of time debating on stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Now stop it, for crying out loud. We're trying to run cancer off from folks. We're trying to get lost people saved. Trying to get people baptized in the Holy Ghost and get them some power. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I believe in serving Jesus till He comes. How's that? How about we just serve Jesus till He comes? Can we agree on that? See, all that other stuff. What? How does that affect how you're going to live today? See, live for Jesus. Speak as one that has authority. That's what I have authority about. I believe in get saved, stay saved, serve Jesus till you die. Or till He comes. Either one. Amen? Now we can agree on that, can't we? But now, go over to Mark 11. All right, now you talk about having authority. Now you're going to have to get it straight. Quit wavering about this, church. Your words have power. Now if you don't believe they have power, then they don't. Now let me prove that to you from Scripture. All right? Mark 11:22. This is like faith 101. Faith 101, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Now notice, and shall not doubt in his heart, now here it is, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I've been teaching of late, recently, about the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion, Jesus said, this guy wasn't even a Jew. He did not have a covenant at that moment with God. He was a Roman nationality to his rank, a centurion. He had a hundred men under him. But he understood authority. That's why he told Jesus, all you've got to do is speak it. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And the reason he knew that is he understood authority. He says, look, I have all these 100 men under me. When I speak, notice what it says here. This is a lesson on authority. It says, if he believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Well, he would speak. You 25 soldiers right here, you 25. I want you right now to go to the top of that hill and set up an outpost. Go now. Did he expect his words to come to pass? Why? He knew that his words had authority. Whatever he says, those that are under his authority, they had no choice unless they want to fight all the power of Rome. You know, if they can rebel if they want to, but they won't like it. I mean, if need be, I mean, they'll pull in forces from Germany and France and wherever they were, from the Roman Empire. They have to bring the whole Roman Empire, those men are going to obey the words of that man. That's what authority means. Now, Jesus, he was speaking to a living object, speaking to a tree, something that doesn't even have any brain, something that has no sense. His words had such power when he says, no man eat fruit of thee again forever. That thing overnight shriveled up from the roots. Who did that? That's the Holy Ghost. Like Sue likes to say, he is the enforcer. You have an enforcer behind your words. If your words are emanating in the name of Christ and on his assignment. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you can't go out and say, I declare that I have $10 million. Unless the Lord has assigned you to go as a gospel entrepreneur or something. But selfish, this doesn't work for selfish reasons. It works in service of the King. You got that? All right. Do you know to some people $10 million is pocket change? Yeah. I remember that time I was flying to South Africa, little bitty cramped seat. Those are the smallest seats I've ever been on in any airplane in my life. And I mean, the armrests were just, it was difficult. And walking through there, we went through first class. Oh, man. Big wide seats. It almost fully reclined. You know this? I said, oh my goodness, this is an 18-hour flight. I had to ask. I said, how much does it cost for one of those first class seats? She said, oh, it's $10,000. And I said, for $10,000, when the flight's over, do I at least get to keep the seat? You'd think you'd get to take it home for $10,000. She laughed, you know, and she said, no, but she says, but anyway, we're all booked up. It's all full. There's no seats available. And there was a lot of seats there. That's when the Lord said to me, son, there is no shortage of money. The problem is the flow of the money. And you're going to have to use my authority to change the flow of the money for my purposes. But that's another day. But see, authority is required. And there's going to be people, God's raising up people that's going to handle tens of millions of dollars and a lot more than that. Bill, you're going to start talking, you know, pretty soon billion is the new million. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? That's going to require authority too. But the point tonight, got to get back to this. Now watch. This only works for people who believe they have authority. See, that going back to that Roman centurion, because Jesus said here, you have to believe that those things which you say will come to pass. One time when I was in the early, early days of training, Faith 101, we're talking many years before the prayer center even. See, it's a good thing I learned the fundamentals of faith before we ever, you know, before I was attacked with cancer in 1990, I wouldn't even be here today. I mean, they already gave me 6 months to live. But I had enough training to know that my words had power. And I knew I could not just keep talking the problem like most people do, telling anyone that'll come about how big my mountain is, and then they'll tell you how big their mountain is, and we all sit around and cry about how big our mountains are. And then pray to God to move the mountain when He said, you speak to the mountain. But I had enough training to know not to do that. I knew that I had to speak and call those things which be not as though they were. I thank God I had enough training for that even then. Okay? But you've got to believe that your words have authority, that when you speak, it makes a difference. That's the whole principle of calling in the lost. When we get together, we pray for our loved ones and we call the city saved and we put them in that place called Dunn, and we are calling those things which be not as though they were. We're going to look at that over in Romans here in a minute. In my early days, the Lord gave me an assignment one time. He says, pray to me. He says, ask me to set a watch on your lips. That every time you speak something that you don't believe will come to pass, I'll bring it to your attention. So I prayed that. Oh my God. That was the worst thing I ever prayed in my life. I mean, I thought I was a great man of faith. But once I prayed, I mean, the stuff, you know, just programming that we've all received. Now we're talking 20 some odd years ago, you know. Just things like, oh, my back is killing me. I'm telling you, I'm dead tired. You know, just stuff that we say and don't even think 2 cents worth. He says, you don't think your words have any power. You're really glad that your words don't come to pass. He says, you need to pray for a lot of crop failure. I'd sown a lot of words like seeds out there, and I needed crop failure, boy. I needed a lot of that stuff not to come to pass. He started training. Now, that doesn't mean you can't tell jokes, you know, when people know when you're telling a joke and that kind of thing. No, I'm talking about that day in, day out kind of talking where you don't even pay any attention to what you say because you don't really have an awareness. Yes, sir. Now, wouldn't that be silly if that centurion, if he didn't watch over his lips, and he just started saying stuff, and so, you know, here's these troops going off that way and these troops going off that way, and he's going, oh, I was just kidding. I wasn't serious. You guys thought I was serious? See, we wonder why we don't have more results in what we have. We just say stuff willy-nilly. We don't really believe that what we say is going to come to pass anyhow. I would recommend that as a exercise. Say, Lord, maybe I need to do that same thing Gary did. For a week. Just don't make it any longer than a week. That's enough. I remember, oh my Lord, I hadn't thought of this in over 20 years. There was another time when Sue and I were watching Kenneth Copeland on TV 20 some odd years ago. And he was talking about a time that him and Gloria kind of made a little contest between the two of them. Says, I'll tell you what, every time I hear you say something that I know that you don't mean it, I'm going to say, I agree with you. It'll come to pass just like you said. And I kind of thought I was a little bit of a hot rod in those days, you know. So I said, well, Sue, you and I ought to do that too. I thought, okay, I got this. I got this. That was the worst deal I ever made in my life. I mean, I couldn't hardly say anything. And she'd go, I agree with you in Jesus' name. I go, no. I don't want that to come to pass. I don't, you know. Oh, car's making a noise. I think it's about to throw a rod. I agree with you. No. You know, just, if, oh man, I don't know what that is. I think my knee's going out. I agree with you. Man, that was the worst deal I ever made in my life. But it was an eye opener. See, it was an eye opener to all the stuff I was saying that I don't want to come to pass. And it taught me in those early days. Now, I slipped back into it. Some of you know when I started having that back problem 2 or 3 years ago, that one, the trick there was, it was so slow. It came on me so gradual. It's not like most things where you get attacked and you recognize it. But it came so slow, I just, over a period of about 3 years, I just started, my mouth just started saying, calling things that are as though they are. I said, my back is killing me. Boy, if this gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. on and on and on. And I didn't even realize I was even doing it. And one day, my lovely little wife, thank God for her, just put her a little, with love but with authority, put her finger right towards my nose and said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. And those of you that were here know it was so bad I'd have to preach from a chair. I couldn't even stand long enough to do a service. How am I doing now? Yeah. Praise God. No, been no surgery or anything else either now. I've had some help from chiropractors and stuff. But it's mainly changing what I was saying. Mainly changing what I was saying, see? Your words, number one, get it straight. We're not going to have any authority without the power of words. Now, you can just forget that. Faith 101. You better, if you're going to have any authority in the kingdom of God, your words are how that authority is going to be exercised. That's the way Jesus did it all the time. They'd come to Him for healing. They'd come to Him for anything. And you just go through there and see how He hardly ever would pray to the Father to heal. He would offer a command. He would not offer. He would issue a command. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He would, over and over again, rise up. Take up thy bed and walk. Spoke like one having authority. And boy, that centurion knew he had it. He said, you don't even have to come to my house. Your words alone have authority over sickness and disease. Speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. That's the level of faith that God is trying to bring us to. Now, we know that if we could get Jesus to speak it, it would happen. He's trying to get us to understand when we speak it, it'll happen. Glory to God, see? Now let's go over to Romans. Just show them how I had to teach Abraham. Romans chapter 4. There's so much here, but for tonight, we'll just start in verse 16. It said, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. Now why did God set it up that way? To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. In other words, it's by grace. Nobody's earning any of this. Got that? It's all by grace, and it's received one way and one way only, and that is by faith. You might as well get it straight, my brothers and sisters. Faith is the currency of heaven. Money is the currency on earth for you to get what you want, but faith is the currency of heaven. You don't get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. Amen. Now, that's a hard pill for people to swallow, but it's the truth anyway. All things are possible to him that believeth. Let's say it this way just so it impacts our brain. Nothing is possible for those that don't. Don't what? Don't believe. Faith is the currency of heaven. Alright? So he said, so God set it up. It's all free. And you can have it by faith. If you can believe it, you can have it. Why did he do it that way? So it's not just for the intellects. It's not just for the good-looking people. It's not just for the white people or the black people or the brown people. This is for the Korean people or Asian people. Huh? China people. It's not just for China people. It's for all of us. It doesn't matter where you are. It's free by grace, and you can receive it one way and one way only, and that is by faith. Well, that's good news. Because how did you get more faith? God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say, well, I don't know if He heals or not. Get your nose in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John till even you believe it. Don't let it out till you believe it. Because it's there. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There we go again. Yeah, but my Aunt Susie. He didn't say Aunt Susie. He said, if you've seen me. Okay. I want to tell you again about Norval's mother. Norval Hayes. Most of you know Norval Hayes. Minister, long time out of Cleveland, Tennessee. He was raised in a Baptist home. His mother was he said, my mother was a shouting Baptist. Said they didn't believe in tongues, but they got happy. And my mother was, she served God and loved God and was the first on every committee. But she got cancer she died of cancer when Norval was about 15. Well, that really, you know, and she died. That really affects a young man, you know, 15 years old, lose your mother. Especially a mother that's serving God and loves God and on every committee and helping with everything and a good woman. Years and years later, when Norval's an adult, got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost and could begin to hear the Lord, he was asking the Lord. I'm going to do my best. I've listened to those tapes so many times, 20 years ago, I can almost say them by heart. Norval would say, "Now, God, why? Why did you take my mother with cancer when I was only 15 years old? I needed my mother, God. I was only 15. Why? And why did you take my mother with cancer?" Here's what the Lord said to him. Finally, it took a while. He said, "I did not take your mother with cancer. Neither did I have anything to do with it." What? Kind of church I grew up in. What? Because they'll just teach you plain, you know. Oh, you know, they have all these reasons why, you know. So he said, "Well, if you didn't take her, how come her to die of cancer?" And boy, I'll never forget this. He said, the Lord said back to him, "She died of cancer because she went to the wrong church. She went to the wrong church. The church she went to never gave her any faith for healing. They just taught her, whatever comes is my will. And for her to just accept that. She received exactly what she believed. And I didn't have anything to do with that." Now see, that's really scary stuff. I don't want to be one of those preachers on Judgment Day that tells people healing has passed away. Tongues has passed away. Miracles has passed away. I'd rather be the one that keeps on preaching Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. You can have it if you can believe it. Press on in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that wasn't a good church, and Norval will tell you on that same tape. He says, what he means by that, people got saved there. I know I grew up in that same kind of church. People get saved there, lives get turned around. You can have hard-drinking, womanizing guys, man, they'll go down to the altar, get genuinely saved, become pillars. But God forbid they get attacked with cancer. Go into that church, they'll probably die. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way you're ever going to know for sure what's available is to find out what God said about it. But even then, now, yes, you see, he's tying it together. Even after you know what God said about it, you still got to change what comes out of your mouth. Now we're back to full circle. Those that do my sayings. Those that do my sayings. All right, let's look at Abraham. He told me to put you back in remembrance of Abraham here. He had to get Abraham to do this, and if Abraham had been unwilling to do it, like most of the church is unwilling to do it, Abraham would never have got his miracle. All right? So here it is, verse 16. Therefore, Romans 4:16. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, for the purpose, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law," meaning the Jews, "but to them also which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, Jew and Gentile. As it is written, I have made thee..." This is what God said to Abram. I have, past tense. God said it to him when he had no children at all. I have. Here's God. I have, like it's already done. I have, like past tense, made thee. Not I will. I have. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, y'all remember the story. We're not going to turn back there in Genesis right now, but you remember what happened. God literally changed his name. Changed it from Abram to Abraham. Now, he's about 99 years old, as I remember. His body is past the time of producing children. Sarah's body was past the time of the way of women. In the natural, there's no way on earth this is going to happen. But God says, he gave him a vision. See the stars. That's how your children will number. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's your hope. He gave Abraham an image, but that wasn't enough. The other side of faith is what you say with the mouth. Believe in the heart, say with the mouth. So he changed his name so that now, every time Abram said his name, he says, in the Hebrew, your name carries meaning. He would have to say, "Hello, my name is Abraham," meaning, "I am the father of many nations." Now, we've read that and read that. I meditated on it till finally I got it one day. And to help you, this really happened. It would be like me changing my name. Y'all have known me forever. What if I come in and told you my name is Jim? And I've had my name legally changed to Jim. And I'd have to be telling y'all. Now, okay, they say, hi, Gary. No, mine not Gary anymore. My name is Jim. And, you know, it'd take a while, wouldn't it? Well, that happened with Abram. Now his name is Abraham. So can you see him and Sarah? They're going to go visit Uncle Fred over the dunes. And so here they go over the dunes, and they're going to go visit Uncle Fred. And Uncle Fred sees them coming, and he says, ah, there comes Abram. My, you know, and I haven't seen him in a long time, so he, hey, give him a hug around the neck. How you doing? Good to see you, Abram. And he says, well, yes, good to see you too, but I need to tell you something. Oh, okay, what are you going to tell me? My name is no more Abram. Oh, it isn't? What is your name now? My name is Abraham. And to that guy, that means I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of many nations. And this guy's looking at him, seeing if there's a little smile maybe forming around, like maybe he's joking. You know, here's a 100-year-old prune. On the camel right behind him is his wife, and she's a 100-year-old prune too. He's known them forever. He knows they don't have any kids. And here this guy's saying, just want you to know, I am the father of a multitude. Now what's the world going to think right there? What's Uncle Fred going to think? Think old man's been out there digging in the sand without his turban on, you know, he's been in the sun too long, and something, you know, something. That's what they always think about Christians when we start talking like Christians. Start talking with authority, see, they'll take notice. If Abraham, but see, and that's funny, isn't it? Listen, he had to endure ridicule. He had to endure the nonsense of it. You know, every time I've ever gone on a faith venture and started calling those things that be not as though they were, those voices of reason always attack my brain. That's demonic thinking, to be honest with you. This isn't accomplishing anything. How silly is this? You heard what the doctor said. You've only got 6 months to live. On and on and on. Boy, I mean, you have to stand up in the face of that and say what God said about you. Call it already done. Call those things that be not as though they were until they are. But most humans are, our natural tendency, if you'll allow me, is to call things that are the way they are. Or even worse, to call things that you fear the way they are. There is no power in calling something that is as though it is, because it already is. You got that? There's no power to change it there. But when God tells you something from His Word, you can possess that land, and one of the first ways to do it is begin speaking with authority, calling those things which be not as though they were. So let's finish up with Abraham here. And it doesn't mean that your circumstances, you can't wait until the change comes and then do it. If Abraham had done that, they never would have had that baby. Authority comes from the moment you speak it. Your circumstances will line up with the Word, not the other way around. What the church has done is made the Bible line up with circumstances. No. Circumstances bow before the Word of God. That's the way it works. Okay, but you better know what you're talking about. Not be out there mamby-pamby on the front lines. So even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now notice, Abraham had to learn this about God. And he had to start following in that same footsteps. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Isn't that something? What that means is, in the natural, there was no hope. There was no hope in the natural. Against that kind of hope, he believed in hope. Where did that hope come from? The vision that God gave him. Look at the stars. I've made thee a father of many nations. Quit looking at your body. Quit looking at the circumstances. Look at what I said. Look at the vision I give you. Got that? Against hope, he believed in hope. That hope came from the... So, against natural hope, he believed in Bible hope. Can I say it that way? What the Word says. Why? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith. Now here's something really hard to do when something's in your body. He considered not his own body. I've tried to do that with fasting. That's really what you got to do. You got to consider it not. I mean, your body will be telling you, screaming. It's like when I was trying to quit the smoking. My body was, it was screaming at me. You're going to die. You're going to die in the next 10 minutes. I'm telling you, you're going to die. You know? Or same thing with fasting. I'm telling you, you're getting dizzy, aren't you? Aren't you getting a little bit dizzy? You're about to black out. I'm telling you right now, you better go get something to eat. I mean, it'll just start talking to you. You got to consider not your own body, or if you're fighting I'm not going to tell this exactly. I don't want to tell it ahead of time. I want the person who went through this, I want them to get to tell it. So I'll tell it from another example of my own. I've had alarming symptoms come in my body at times. I jokingly tell you all. See, Sue and I have not had any kind of medical insurance since 1995. People say, well, what do you do when you get sick? We get healed or we die. You got that? Now, I'm not against doctors. It's just not been financially possible to do it. So, God's taken really good care of us. Okay? But I've had alarming symptoms come. And I've been through stuff. Okay? And symptoms that where you want to go to the emergency room type of symptoms. And I jokingly tell y'all, well, what do you do, Gary? What do you ensue when that kind of thing happens? Well, we pray for each other. But if you ask us, we'll tell you it's gas. Why? Gas will pass. I'm serious. Now, that's funny, isn't it? We literally do that. And I don't care if it's a pain in my thumb. I'll tell you it's gas. And all I can say is it's been working for all these years. It does, it leaves, it goes away, and then we're fine. You see what I'm saying? If I spoke what the symptoms were telling me, I have very little doubt that I would authorize something to enter my body. See? I do a teaching sometimes called... That is a lying clock tonight. Something called Satan's flip chart. How many of you have been through that? What I mean is you'll get a symptom. Oh! Okay, like if it's... Where's your appendix? On the right side? Okay. You ever had a pain right there? You ever had that thought? Oh, man. That might be my appendix, you know. You better not authorize that. Better not speak that out of your mouth. Satan's flip chart. If you say, no, I'm sure it's not that. He'll go, would you believe? And he'll go, maybe it's your liver. Maybe it's, and it'll come right on down. And finally, you can always settle for gas. Because gas will pass. You'll be okay. It's Satan's flip chart. I don't know how many times the thought of, that's a heart problem, that's a cancer problem, that's this problem. And you'll have symptoms that, if you go, and boy, well, sometimes the worst thing you can do, now I'm not against anything anybody's doing, get on the internet and start going through, oh my God. Now pretty soon you're going to have the incurable tsetse fly disease that only comes from Nairobi, and you've never been to Nairobi. You know, but you know you've got it because you've got all the symptoms, because right there they are. I mean... He considered not his own body. That's hard to do when you're 100 years old. The more I'm in this, the more respect and the more honor I give Abraham. I mean, especially as I get older, maybe that's what's causing it. You know, I mean, I'm already 62 and I can tell a change, okay? 99, almost 100 years old, and God says you're going to have a baby. Man! And he's willing. I mean, you got to look in the mirror. I mean, this is... Look in the mirror and go, well, God, here goes Jimmy Miller. God, you said what? You said what? Me and this old prune? I mean, no, me and this lovely lady right here, we're going to... Yeah. Willing to consider not his own body. Now, look at it. Considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. He wouldn't even... neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Any doctor... on earth, even if they'd have had modern-day medicine, what kind of diagnosis would they have given? It is impossible. It is impossible. She was past the time of the way of women. Even with modern day science, they'd go, nope, it's over for you. Not a chance. I mean, in the face, you take God's word in the face of every diagnosis. They have to tell you. That's what they signed an oath. They have to tell you from the natural point of view. Plus, they normally have to kind of give you the worst possible outcome to protect themselves in case of lawsuits later on. So you're always getting the worst there. And that's really, they have no choice. But you can, he says he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. Any doctor would have said it's impossible. He says, but I believe it is possible. How can you believe that, Abraham? Because God told me it was possible. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now, in this particular case, he heard something directly for his life. What we're normally talking about here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord's will for everybody. Healing is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. Baptism in the Holy Ghost is for everybody. It's not His will for everybody to have a child at 100 years old. Excuse me a minute. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love my children, but I don't want one at 800 years old. Hallelujah. But He does have things for your life. And if you keep doing the message at this church, you're going to start hearing the things for your life. Like that time He told me about Sid Roth. I mentioned it this morning. That was a scary thing now when you got about 40 bucks in the bank and they say, do you want to offer free tapes to 16 million people? You're listening? And everything in you says, no, 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 don't you dare. And he says, just as calm, I can afford it. Well, faith comes by hearing. And I went, my father says he can afford it. Click. Before I change my mind. I'll tell you what. Now, if millions would have asked, I think he would have provided somehow. Millions didn't, but boy, hundreds and hundreds over a period of time, thousands did. And you know, we were able to send them all free, send them all postage paid. Amen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right, we'll finish this up now. I just wanted you to get this tonight. Faith 101. If we're going to start, we're talking about now walking out the book of Ephesians. If we don't change what we say, if we don't start thinking that what we say comes to pass, you can forget walking in authority. Just forget it. It's those that do His sayings that have the victory. Well, we only have one pattern, that's Him. We're going to have to, when we speak, what we say it out loud with me. When I speak, what I say comes to pass. I'm a person of faith. When I speak to the mountain, it obeys me. Because Jesus said, if I speak to the mountain and doubt not in my heart, but believe what I say, shall come to pass, I will have whatever I say. I am a man under authority. And when I speak, stuff happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I think that's just finishing up this up, so we'll make sure I get that in. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. Now, by the way, I have another lesson. He didn't start out fully persuaded. He laughed. He laughed out loud first time God told him. Him and Sarah both laughed out loud. He became fully persuaded, and that's good news for you. You can become fully persuaded too. Okay? But he became. He was fully persuaded, but he became fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, for not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We could go on and on. That same principle, that's in here, so that we have to become a people who know that when we speak with authority. When we speak, what we say shall come to pass. Faith 101. You got it? Hallelujah. This must be Norval Hayes night. I'm reminded of testimonies. I'm reminded of things that I, not only in my own life, but others. One of the best tape series I ever heard was How to Live and Not Die by Norval Hayes. And I there's been untold thousands cured of cancer from that tape series. But in there, he teaches you how to talk. And in no uncertain terms, he says you've got to learn to start talking to your body. And you got to talk to anything, any kind of invader that's in your body, you drive it out in Jesus' name. You talk to it, get out of my body. And he talks about that one man who, you know, that he's actually has been here. We met him. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was at several camp meetings. And this guy, his leg, he just kind of dragged it behind him. It just wouldn't work, you know. And he just started, for years, he'd talk to it. I call my leg normal. Leg, I command you to work. I command you to work. I talk to you, leg. I'm not giving you a choice. You're normal. I call you normal. I'm able to walk on both legs. Leg, I'm talking to you. Hours and hours this guy would do that. People would think you're crazy. It goes on for weeks and months and years in this case. One time he was doing it again. They were on a duck hunting trip. Out hunting ducks. And the other guys were moving on ahead of him and he couldn't go as fast. He said, well, you guys go on. I'll catch up. And he's doing it again out there. He said, I call you normal, leg. I call you normal. And in between the step, like suddenly, I love that word, suddenly, whew, suddenly that leg just started working like any other leg and he could jump and run and do anything he wanted. He goes running to those other guys and he said, look, look, I told you I was healed.
Yes.
I've got testimonies in my own life I could give you. Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, whatever your mountain is, see? And we tend to keep praying about the mountain. We like to have counseling sessions about the mountain. We want to talk to each other about the mountain. Anything except what Jesus said, talk to the mountain. Take authority. More, I'm finally seeing it. That's exactly how that centurion had the greatest faith that Jesus ever found. He knew that that Jesus had authority. And when he spoke, disease had no choice. Now God's trying to raise us up to know we're seated in that same place. He has no mouth on earth except ours to speak the same level of authority. And disease has no choice. We've got to know it like Jesus knows it. And like the centurion knew it. If he knew it, we can know it. That guy wasn't even born again. He knew how authority worked. Start talking to the mountains. When people are really hurting, sometimes people, you know, they get to where they can't do it for themselves anymore.
Amen.
Okay? And there's no point pounding them. That's why people are called intercessors. Okay? You come and you stand in the place of that other person. So if they're too weak, or if they, you know, as long as they're not actively resisting you, in other words, saying, I don't believe in that, I'm not going to have that. As long as it's not like that, listen, you can start confessing over them. That's what an intercessor is. He steps in to take the place of another, stands in their place. So you come in and you speak for them. But you got to be careful of human compassion, boy, when it's substituted for the Lord's compassion. See, we'll nice people right into the grave. You understand what I'm saying? We'll just nice them right into the grave. When Jesus would say, how, you know, he would speak, he would take authority, he'd get them healed. We have to be a lot more on that another time. So, don't be moved. Yes, sir. I'll say it this way: be moved by God's word and not by emotions.
Hallelujah.
When the father brought the lunatic boy to the disciples, did they or did they not have authority over that devil? They did have authority over it. They tried. They couldn't get it to go, could they? So they said, bring him. And if the story stopped there, see, that would have been a perfect case. If what they say is true, well, it's just not always the Lord's will to heal. If the story would have ended there, we might would have had evidence for that. But it doesn't end there, thank God. Jesus says, bring him to me. Now, Jesus, he says, if you want to see the Father, look at me. End result, what happens? The boy gets delivered. He gets healed. Now, when they ask the Lord,
Why could not we cast him out? He did not say anything like, well, I didn't give you authority over that level of devil. See, he didn't say anything like that. Just one reason. Because of your unbelief. And I'm going to say it again. And human compassion doesn't like this. Human compassion likes to be liked and likes not to stir the pot. But the same, he wouldn't say anything different to us. Why didn't it happen when we pray? Because of your unbelief. That's bad news, but that's good news. Because I can't change God. I can't really change the devil. I can't change the Word of God. But I can change. That's why he said, this kind of what, devil? No, this kind of unbelief. It comes out by prayer and by fasting. We're going to the right church, people. If we're doers of the sayings, we're going to the right church. Hallelujah. The point is, we've had the authority the whole time. It's not an authority. Ephesians, you know, has been around a long time. That book, that letter, we've had that authority since Christ rose from the dead. It's our unbelief keeping us from operating in it. Our unbelief. You don't get from God what you deserve. Thank God for that. You get what you believe. You exercise that authority. You got to believe you have it. That's why we keep preaching. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God.